We continue in the eighth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 15. Where God commands, thou shalt not steal. And as we continue in this commandment, the subject of gambling. We've considered how the eighth commandment has to do with our own and our neighbour's possessions. And as we come to the subject of gambling, this has to do with how we are to honour and obey God in regards to not only the possessions of others, but also of our own. And even though most people today in Australia think that gambling, whether small or large, whether it be a raffle or a small lotto ticket or going to the casinos, most people think that's fine. A great number engage in it in different ways. The Church of God has consistently held that gambling is a form of theft and a breaking of the Eighth Commandment. And it is this in regards to both how we are to regard our own possessions and the possessions of others. Just to recall again what the Shorter Catechism says in question 75, the Eighth Commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth and or outward estate. Now, just in thinking about, in general, about the law of God, we're considering the law of God and how God would have us live in this world. But we are, when we consider God's law, it is not just, we've seen, it's not just for Christians. It's not just for those in the church, not just for those who make a profession of Christ. Because there are those today, so when we're talking about gambling or we're talking about any other part of God's law, we're not just talking about our view of morality or the morality of those who profess Christ. We're talking about what is the standard of good and evil. And it comes back to the very beginning of the Ten Commandments in the introduction and preface where God declares his rights. God, the Creator, spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, the everlasting God, the eternal, the all-sufficient, the almighty God. I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So, and then begins, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God declares his rights. And it begins with him as creator, as the Lord and ruler over all. And so it belongs, this is the standard, and it's seen consistently so through the Old Testament and New Testament, the standard of righteousness for all men. And so when we are speaking about gambling or whatever other issue in society, it's not about Christians imposing their morality on others, it's what has God said. Because we come to Acts 17, for example, verse 30, and says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So in times past, God was particularly dealing with Israel. In times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If all men are commanded to repent, what are they commanded to repent from? From sin. And what is that sin? How do we understand that sin? It is the breaking of God's law. And so that means that God's law, whereby he will judge all men, applies to all men. And so when we're speaking about gambling, or whether we're speaking about the so-called same-sex marriage, or any part of God's law, it's not just about what we think and what we ought to do, but it's how ought men to live in this world. And if it be that say society is ignorant of these things because they don't have the revelation of God, then part of us not only honouring God, but loving our neighbour, is telling our neighbour, including our rulers, that what they are doing is sin against God and will incur the judgment of God, and they ought to repent. So that's just a sort of a general reminder in that sense, and background, also in terms of thinking of some of the things that have been happening in recent times, where there are, and so in the context of this so-called same-sex marriage debate, there are even some ministers who are saying, well, we've got no right as Christians to speak to the world about what is right and wrong. We just leave them, have their opinion. We want to try and preserve our rights, and maybe they'll let us keep doing what we want to do, but we don't tell them what is right and wrong. Well, that is a denial. Ultimately, it comes back to the first commandment, denying God his rights, his that worship and glory that is due to him. But then back to gambling. So, firstly, just to define gambling, and there's different ways that it might be defined, I suppose, depending on the dictionary or who's putting it together. In Wikipedia, which can be a helpful source of definitions and so forth, it says this: gambling is the wagering of money or something of value, referred to as the stakes, so the thing that's at stake, on an event with an uncertain outcome. So we might think of, you know, whether it be which ball comes out of the out of the barrel, which straw is picked, which dice is which number comes up on the dice, which horse wins the race, and the primary with the primary intent of winning money or material goods. So gambling is the wagering of money or something of value, referred to as the stakes, on an event with an uncertain outcome, with the primary intent of winning money or material goods. A couple of things about that definition as we think of what gambling is before considering it, some principles from Scripture. What Wikipedia refers to as an event with an uncertain outcome, what we ought to understand is that event with its outcome is unrelated. It's not naturally related to the gain or loss. It is not buying or gambling is not buying or selling something. That gain or the potential gain is not a prize that's won. It's not a prize for the reward of some effort, like a prize at the end of a race or some such thing. It's not the natural fruit of labour. It is unrelated. And I'll come to that a bit later. Also, that in terms of the stakes, this includes, and that's generally understood to be included under gambling, includes a payment for the chance of winning a prize. So, you know, so a raffle would be an example of that. So a payment for the chance of winning a prize. The uncertain outcome in that sense is, well, we'll put the money in, and depending on which number is pulled out of the thing, then we can win the prize. So that's counted. And even if we think of government, sort of in terms of society, the lottery commissions, gambling commissions, raffles are the rules of raffles are included under gambling most often in society. But I want to bring a number of points, five points concerning gambling in all forms, showing it to be unlawful. Firstly, gambling is a waste. These principles aren't in a particular... I mean, I put them in an order that I felt would be clearest and the most logical for myself anyway. They're not in a particular, this is the most important, and so on. So gambling is a waste. We've considered that God's given us resources, and the Eighth Commandment shows us that God, the lawfulness of possessions, God gives us resources to use for his glory and to be enjoyed to his glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Gambling is putting a portion of those God-given resources at risk in the hope of gaining more. Now, I'm going to come to risk in a minute, the difference between risk and gambling, but gambling is risking in an unlawful way in the hope of gaining more in an unlawful and an unnatural way, and it's a waste. This is how even... So gambling has been around for millennia, wagering, gambling, betting, and it's been dealt with by the church through that time. In the time of the Reformation also, and there's reference to it in the Westminster Larger Catechism, under the Eighth Commandment, which is question 142, what is forbidden includes wasteful gaming and all other ways whereby we do unduly prejudice, or put at risk, our own outward estate, and defrauding ourselves of the due use and comfort of that estate which God hath given it, given us, rather. So God has given us these resources to be used for his glory and to be enjoyed, and we're wasting those resources in gambling. It doesn't matter whether it's a small amount or a large amount. Now, we can obviously see, there are many stories, multitudes of stories of people who have lost homes, lost marriages, lost families, lost more than they ever had through gambling, tragedies. And we can see that, very, very clearly. But even when it's a small amount, it is God's given us all that we have to use for his glory. And when we waste any of it, it is bad stewardship and wrong. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12, Christ speaks to us as to how we are to use our resources, even those things upon the earth. Verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? in terms of what are we to be faithful with, that which God has given us, and we are to be good stewards of our possessions. We can also see this waste if we think of in many workplaces. There are those who week by week, month by month, are putting money into the pool, in the hope of one day striking it lucky. To use their language, or in the tipping competition, or at the casinos. And while it might be a small amount each time, yet obviously it adds up, but even that small amount is a waste. It's a wasting of that which God has given. Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So gambling is a waste. Secondly, gambling is not a lawful means of gain. It is unlawful. God gives property, gives possessions, and he has set before us in his word those ways that we are rightly to gain, able to gain possessions. We've considered that the scriptures show us by that we might gain possessions by way of gift or inheritance, by way of labour, working with our hands, by way by way of trade or investments, buying and selling. In Luke 19, Christ in the parable there, the parable of the talents, describes describes those who invest the money, buying and selling, and describes also the lawfulness in the example of putting that money in the bank, as a way of investment, the parable of the pounds, rather. In Luke 19:23, where the Lord in the parable says to the wicked servant, "Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?" So by the use of the example in the parable, we see the lawfulness of it. Now, I've mentioned those three things before. After those sermons, it was mentioned from the in discussion that another lawful means of gain, which doesn't apply so much now, but which we can consider in terms of just the biblical doctrine, is spoils of just war. So when there is just war, whether at the command of God in attack or when in more ordinarily in defence, that which is left behind rightly belongs to the victor. But also, another means, a lawful means of gain, is that of prize. That of a prize. Of winning a competition in that sense, and I'm not talking about gambling, but of whether it be of intellect or of strength or of speed, and receiving a prize. Now, and that would be distinguished from gift or inheritance, because there has been effort to receive that. One scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, and others also, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, clearly the point is not to instruct us primarily concerning running races, but it is the example used as to the Christian life and as to striving and pressing on in the things of God, but that the example is used and often shows us the lawfulness, the legitimateness of running and racing in that sense in different ways, and of prizes. So that was as we think of those ways, a lawful means of gain. Now, when we come to gambling then, gambling is seeking to gain without effort related to that gain, without labour, without legitimate trade. It is, I'll come to chance and these things after, but it's seeking to gain apart from those ways that God has set before us. Now, when I say that, and there are those who object, well, who work very hard at gambling. There are people who, say if we think of horse racing, they will study the form guides, they'll get to know their horses, and so that they work very hard at that. They spend a lot of time on it. People who very clever men and women who have mathematical minds, and they work out all sorts of things about probabilities and packs of cards and different things, and they go to the casinos or other things, and they can get lots of money in that way. The odds can be more in their favour, and so some people can say, well, some people work at gambling, but as we think of that objection, just if gambling itself is not a lawful use of resources, if it's a waste, and if it's not a lawful means of gain, then any skill or work at that at doing that doesn't make it lawful. And we can think of it in this way. There are those who work hard and become very skillful in murder. There are those who work hard and become very skillful in thievery. Those who become very adept at breaking into cars, breaking into houses, doing all these things. That is their livelihood. It's unlawful. It's still sinful. So the effort put in does not make something lawful. And also, as we consider the unlawfulness, with gambling, it is not, whatever effort put in is not actually related to the outcome. It's not earning that, what is won, what might be won, is not the fruit of the labour put in. It is, there is no natural connection to it, and which is my next point. So it's not fruitful labour, whereas the scriptures say, thou shalt eat the labour of thy hand. There's a connection. As we think of gambling not being a lawful means of gain, it's not lawful. It's also unnatural. And the objection, I suppose, that then I'll seek to address is this, that people say, well, we take risks all the time. In life, we're always taking risks, and we have to assess risks, which is going to, in terms of safety, in terms of time, shall I walk or shall I drive? What will I do? What's going to be the safest and best way of doing something? If we think of trade, if we think of business, if we think of buying and selling, if we think of even service and serving others and being paid for that, there is risk. Will someone want, I'm going to buy a certain amount of this product, will there be enough people who want to buy that? Is it going to be worth it? I'm going to set up a business and do this thing. Is it going to, there's a risk in that, in effort, in money, whether people will want to take up that service. If we're buying something, there's a risk. Is this product going to meet my expectations? There is risk. And so some people say, well, gambling, yes, there's risk, but it's just another version of it. And sometimes we can confuse the issue because we might say, oh, I'll take a gamble. When we're not talking about a wager at all, but we're talking about taking legitimate risk. So, but what is the difference? What's the difference between risk and gamble? Well, risk is a necessary part of life, and we have to make assessments, and we seek to do that prudently. But risk becomes gambling when the agreed reason for gain or loss is not by a natural connection. So there is risk in business, in buying or selling, but it is as regards the product or the service that's being bought or sold. But with gambling, the reason for the gain or loss, that event of an uncertain outcome, is not connected with the gain and loss in any sort of natural way. So which horse will win, which way the coin will land, which cards I have in my hand in terms of as they've been dealt out, which balls come out, that sort of thing. And so in this respect, as we think of gambling, whether it's a lawful means of gain, well, it's not one of those ways that God has set before us. It's also not the natural, there's no natural connection between the risk and the event. And so it's risking property in regards to something that is unnecessary and not connected rightly with any gain. As we think of lawful gain, just to remember again what Paul says in Ephesians 4:28: let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good. But then thirdly, gambling is theft. So far in these the first two points, it's been considering, I suppose, our possessions, which we are not to waste and which we are to seek to gain by those in lawful ways. But gambling also, and obviously, involves others. And gambling is theft. It is taking from others what isn't lawfully ours. It's not being given to us, whether by inheritance or alms or just a gift of love in some way. It's not being earned. It's not by trade, not a prize, not lawful plunder. It is taking from others what is not lawfully ours. Now, as soon as a common objection is, because it's clear that in gambling, someone always loses. So many people put in, and only a few get the money or the possessions at the end, and someone always loses. But the objection that is given is, well, the other people, they're willingly involved. They want to do it. Now, people might see the issue when there are those who, I suppose, are so given, addicted in that sense to gambling and can't see any way out, that are seeking to do it in the hope of finally recovering their possessions. And they might see, well, there's almost a lack of consent there, although it still is consent. But we have to understand that consent doesn't make anything right. Now, if we think that we can think of that in other parts of God's law, if we think of adultery is generally between consenting persons. That does not make adultery right. In the eyes of the world, it does. But in the eyes of God, it does not. That only exacerbates, that makes it more sinful. If we think of murder, now whether it be assisted suicide, someone helping someone else to die, or if we think of a situation of a duel. Now, we don't really hear of duels so much. We probably read them in books and read about them in books and perhaps see them on movies or something. But the situation where two men might, for the sake of honour, particularly of honour, say, well, we will fight to the death and the winner is the victor. Now, this has been treated and also in the eyes of the law as murder. Although two men might decide that they might, only one of them will walk out as the law would come. And even today, as the law would come and deal with that, it would be treated as murder. The consent of parties doesn't make sin or crime not to be so. And the fact that various parties, two people or more, have agreed to the gamble, to the wager, to that someone's going to win and someone's going to lose, doesn't change the lawfulness of it. Gambling is seeking to have the property of someone else unlawfully. It's also encouraging others to waste their property, not to protect their property. If we think of the Eighth Commandment, as it stated, thou shalt not steal, we have a right to protect our property, not to waste it, but also not to let others steal it as far as is possible for us. But in gambling, there's a willful wasting, and we're encouraging others to waste as well. And then, if we happen to win, we are taking that, taking their property. So we're stealing. Fourthly, gambling is trusting chance rather than God. Those who gamble are placing their fortunes, placing their hopes, and often very consciously not in God, the Almighty God, in whose hands are all things, but in the hands of luck, in the hands of chance. And so many people, and we can think of not just those, I mean, so many pictures might be before us as even parts of society, well, as society sees this, the worst of the worst situation, I suppose, of the scourge of gambling in terms of those people who are stuck in front of these machines and putting all their savings into it and waiting and pulling the lever and waiting just for their moment to come. Or whether it be those, and whether you've worked with them or know of them, those who are just going week by week and they're working, coming into their job, but they're hoping that this week they or that their group of friends who have put in their money, that this week might be the week when we can win that jackpot, and then we'll be able to do what we want, we're free. But they're waiting for that dice to roll, for those balls to come out just with the right numbers on them, then they'll have it made. And they're trusting, not in God, they're trusting in chance, trusting in luck, whereas God is the Lord. He is the sovereign Lord. Nothing happens by random or chance. In God's providence, in the passage we read in 2 Chronicles 18, we read there of a random event. Verse 33, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, "Turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." So there is Ahab, and he's in disguise, so no one knows that it's him. They want to kill Ahab, but they don't know it's him. And there is a man in the opposing army who just basically pings an arrow up into the air, and down it comes right between wherever exactly it went, but right in the joints of the harness. And so Ahab is mortally struck at a venture. The man had no idea, but not by chance, by the God, the Almighty God, guiding it to that very place, bringing to pass that which he had prophesied. God is the one, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:11, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Proverbs 16, verse 33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." So whether we think of straws being drawn, you know, who gets the short straw, or the dice being rolled, or whatever it might be, it is all of God. And we are called to trust in him. Now there are those who say, again, well, if God controls all, if God's in control of all, then if it's his will, I'll win, and that will be his provision. And so they might say, well, I can trust in God and put my numbers in, and then maybe God will bless that. What we do is we do see in the scriptures, mostly in the Old Testament, also in the New, in the choosing of an apostle to replace Judas, we see the use of lots, whereby God, so he instructed his people most often directly by his prophets, but there were situations where there were decisions to be made. And whatever those lots exactly looked like, whether it was different colour stones, obviously in the tabernacle there was the Urim and the Thummim, we might think of drawing straws or drawing a name out of a hat, but that God directed his people in these ways. And we see these things are in the hands of the Lord, not random, not by chance. But the scriptures are very clear that trust in God and trusting in God's sovereignty doesn't belong with, doesn't fit with disobedience to his law. And so we've seen already, gambling is waste. It is an unlawful means of gain. It is theft. And so we can't say, well, I'm trusting in God and I'm going to disobey him. No, faith, what does Paul say? Faith worketh by love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. faith, trust in God, and law keeping belong together. And also that trust in God's providence doesn't permit sin. The lottery winnings, who wins the lotto, is in God's providence. But it is not a lawful means of gain. How would God have us to gain? Would he have us to be pining away week by week just for our number to be drawn and just for us to hit that jackpot? No, God would have us to work with our hands, that we might eat, that we might gain. And so whatever objections, gambling is entrusting, gambling is an entrusting of ourselves to chance rather than to God. Whereas God says, Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Then fifthly, gambling is motivated by covetousness. It's motivated by covetousness. So we come finally to the heart of the matter in that sense. I mean, obviously dealing, seeking to understand according to principles of God's word as to how we consider gambling as a thing. But we must come to the heart. And I suppose that's already been we've seen that throughout. Not trusting in God, trusting in chance, and putting hope in this outcome. But the key motivation in gambling, whether it's big stakes or small stakes, is covetousness, greediness, a desire for quick and easy money. And it shows, this covetousness shows a discontent under God's providence, a discontent with his provision, what he's given, and also a discontent in the means of provision, those ways that God would have us to gain under his providence. And this covetousness is not hard to discern. I mean, people are very plain about their motives. They don't want to work anymore. They want to get all that stuff now. They want it. They want to have the life that they've seen other people live. They put their hope there and their source of joy in having that money. That's why they do it. Want to, obviously, and it's right for us, and whether any of you or any of us are particularly tempted in the matter of gambling, but that we would be examining ourselves also as to contentment, as to whether we be those who are continually grasping after more, who are discontent with what God has given and in our own present situation and in the means of his provision. But God addresses these areas in his word, and I do want to consider a number of scriptures, particularly from the Proverbs, where he speaks about, firstly, this desire for quick and easy money, this desire to stop doing anything and to live it up, just to have money for nothing. Firstly, Proverbs 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labour shall increase. Proverbs 20, verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. clearly there as regards an inheritance. And we can think of the parable Christ told, Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. We can think of those who do inherit great estates and squander it all. And we can think of those who get the lotto or who get win big in some gambling way. And we very often have reports of great disaster following in their lives and their marriages and their families. Often lost very soon. Chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Labour not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And Proverbs 28 and verse 20 to 22. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Also, as we think of covetousness, Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 1 and 2, concerning those gaining all this stuff, but having no joy with it. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honour, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. It is vanity, and it is an evil disease. And as we consider, I want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, considering gambling. We know historically that it is connected with all manner of evil, and that flow, that's because it's the root of gambling is that covetousness. And what does the scriptures say? 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, we can see this all week. Obviously, this covetousness and this love of money can evidence itself in those building businesses and enterprises on earth, even in legitimate ways. But don't we see it in gambling? Don't we see it in those many evils, the destruction that is wrought just in the lives of individuals, whether it be those poor who are throwing away their entire life and ruining their marriages and families, or whether it be those playing with much higher stakes. But the connection that this industry, if I can call it that, the gambling, the things of gambling have had with all manner of evil. They belong there. They have the same root of covetousness, wickedness. And we ought to understand that when we think of gambling as well, its root being covetousness. What do the scriptures say? We considered this morning as well. Covetousness is idolatry, worshipping another god. Who is that god? Mammon. It is a seeking not to, it is not a glorifying of God, a submitting to him and in his providence, a worshipping of him and seeking to work as he has commanded and given, but rather worshipping, lusting after, going after money. And we can see it rightly as a slavery. Christ says in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, there are people who talk about addiction, and they talk about it in many areas and say that such and such is addicted to this. And what the world is often meaning is that, oh, the person is sick. They can't help it. It's a disease that they have often. And whether it be as regards drunkards or those using drugs. And this is not talking about chemical responses in our body and cravings and that sort of thing. But if we think of addiction and when people talk about gambling addiction, we can understand that in a biblical way as well. Not as a sickness, a thing that someone can't help, but as a slavery. Because this person who is given to that sin, addicted to it, literally given to it, they are full of covetousness. They are living for money, living for mammon, and they are wanting refusing to submit to God and his law, and therefore living in sin. And the Bible says that whosoever sins is a slave of sin. There is that bondage that only truly God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can break a sinner from. Christ, by his grace. In John 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." But again, as with other sin, as with all other sin, we are not loving those who are bound up in it by letting them go their own way. We're not loving them by letting them just pursue it at their will. We are loving them by telling them it is sin, by showing them their bondage, and by that they might know it and turn to Christ for freedom. As we think of that gambling is motivated by covetousness, one final objection that some people have is, and many people have, they say, well, some people, yes, there are some people who are addicted to it, they are given to it, and they ought to stop, but other people just do it for enjoyment, for entertainment, and there's no covetousness in it. And they might say, well, you spend money to go to a concert or to a sports game or to do something else that you enjoy, so why can't we spend money to do some gambling? We enjoy that, whatever it might be. Now, we must, there is lawful recreation. God's given us, gives to us that we might enjoy his creation. And there are times, it's right for times of play, times of feasting in the right proportion. And we must be careful that we are not wasting resources. As people say this, how do we answer this? Well, gambling is not a lawful means of gain. It is not submitting to God's providence and contentment with our own estate, and not submitting to those ways and obeying those, following those ways that God has given for us to gain. Gambling involves theft of others' possessions, whether they agree or not. And gambling is motivated by covetousness. That is why would people be entertained by it? Why would they want to continue by it? It's not because they just like playing cards or like seeing coloured balls do certain things. The motivation is just one more time. Maybe next time that'll be it. Then I will get it. That covetousness, even though it be small covetousness, if I can put it that way, it is yet the motivation, and it is yet sinful. So I think these reasons, and there are surely other reasons that could be given, but I think these reasons, gambling is a waste. Gambling is not a lawful means of gain. Gambling is theft. Gambling is trusting chance rather than God. Gambling is motivated by covetousness. These reasons are some of the reasons why gambling has been rightly opposed by Christians, whether a small amount or a large amount, whether someone is impoverished or whether someone has much. Gambling has been opposed for these reasons, also because it has been connected with being a sinful activity. It's connected with all manner of other sin. And we ought not to participate in it. We ought not to encourage it. When it comes to, because raffles and things might seem innocent, yet it is encouraging these same sorts of things. Something for nothing and waste of resources. We ought not to be using such. Surely there are other ways, obviously, to be seeking for fundraising and these sorts of things. We ought not to encourage it or participate in it, whether as individuals or as rulers. And perhaps as we think of our rulers, and there are clearly many areas where we would see the laws in this land as being lawless as regards God's law. As we think also of the gambling industry in this land, in many lands, it is subsidised by, it is a means of gain for our rulers. It's a profitable enterprise for our rulers, and the taxes that they get in from it, and the licences that they give out, and all these things. And our rulers need to know that. So gambling is not consistent with love for God, because it's rather serving mammon. And we cannot serve God and mammon. It's not consistent with contentment, the contentment God calls us to under his providence. Whereas he would have us to be content having food and raiment, and to be working if we might gain. It's not consistent with love for our neighbour, because we're taking that, taking their property. And so we must seek to give God his rights in our own life, also as regards our neighbours. If there is temptation to this, to be bringing that to God, to be repenting from sin and seeking grace to God, also that we would not steal, rather that we would, he that stole, as Paul says, let him steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give, not to take from, but to give to him that needeth. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy law. We consider, O God, that thy law is light. It is truth. There is instruction, there is direction, and we praise thee for the wisdom of thy word, for the principles found therein that we might apply to all of life. We thank thee for that sufficiency in the scriptures, that we would be equipped by it to know how to live in this world. We do pray for those, whether it be among us or known to us, those around us who might be caught in the snare of gambling, in the breaking of thy law, in the wasting of their possessions, and theft, enslaved to covetousness. O God, that thou would be pleased to show them their sin, that they might turn from it by thy grace and be forgiven and serve and honour and glorify thee. Help us to be proving all things and holding fast that which is good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.